help me in delivering it. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So bless also the school children as they go to school tomorrow. Their teachers, everyone that they come in contact, friendships that they make, and things that they learn. 2 Timothy, please, in your Bible. I'll read one verse, and then we're just going to go through a few verses here, and then I'll follow up with a little ending. Huh?
2 Timothy.
Okay. Crazy woman. 2 Timothy 2. I said that, right? Okay, thank you, Albert. I love him. Yeah, okay, 2 Timothy 2. Look at, let me just give you just a little bit before I go into this. You know, a lot of us live in the things of the world, live in demonic chaos to the extent where we even think that we are bound in chains and controlled, unable to be set free. Things that happen in our life, we act like we're the victim. We're the victim of it. We love to play that victim card. Things get difficult. It's about me. It's me because of this. And we've got all these excuses. And so let me just read one verse and then we'll go into this. It says, verse 13 says, if we believe not, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And this is our God.
Yes.
And our God is faithful. I don't care what situation or what problem you're experiencing, God is still faithful. It doesn't change who He is. Our circumstance don't change whose we belong to. We're His. We're His children. And we need to start walking in that. We don't walk as victims. We don't walk as slaves. We don't walk as being bound. We don't walk in our addictions, in our failures, in our misery. We'll go through that. There's no doubt about it, but we don't have to live in it. We don't stay there. That's not what we're from. So Paul, in verse 9, says, I suffer as an evildoer. I suffer as like a criminal. He goes, I'm suffering as a criminal would suffer, and I am in chains because of it. So he was in prison, but he was saying, I'm being treated, though, as a criminal. And sometimes even in our lives, because we go through things, we suffer greatly. We suffer greatly as people. And they counted it a blessing to suffer for Christ. We count it as God is getting back at me. Or it's because I'm doing this, or because of this happened. But look at the difference here. And then he says, even in our unto bonds, which means the word here is he was shackled. He was a prisoner. He was chained. It even made him a disability. Because if I'm in this condition, how can I do anything? And that was really true here. And everybody left him. Everybody left him to sit in that prison. And he was in two different types of prison. He was homebound prison, and then he was in these guards where it's not like our prison. You don't get time to go work out. You don't get time to eat. You don't get time to go watch Oprah. You don't get time to get a degree and be a lawyer and represent yourself later. I mean, these prisons... Not like our, but But he says, you know, I am bound to this. I am bound to this. And some of us are bound to different things in different areas. And then he says this, and I love this verse, or the next part of this. He says, but the word of God is not bound. You might think you're in that condition, but God's word is not. God's word is free. God's word is free to minister and to encourage, and his gospel continues to go forth because of the word of God. He says, therefore I'll endure all things, which means I'll stay in this condition and endure this suffering if just somebody would be able to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Because salvation will continue to come forth even though I'm in chains and I'm bound up and I'm a prisoner and I'm disabled. The gospel is still going forward. Amen. And you know what? Even in your life, if you go through suffering, the gospel in your life still goes forward. It still goes forward. It's really amazing to think about that. Yeah. And then in verse 11, and I just want to hit a couple things here, it says, it is a faithful saying. Now, from verse 11 through 13, and just in verse 11 by itself, you see a couple of things happening. You'll see great comfort. Then you're going to see a challenge. Then you're going to see comfort again. Okay? And it's that middle part. It's that challenge that throws so many believers off. And remember as we go through this, the main verse is what? God is
faithful.
God is faithful. God is faithful. So, number one, I've got a faithful saying to you. That's comfort. Because the word of God is coming to me. And when the word of God comes to my heart, I have immediate comfort over whatever I'm going through. I can live in that comfort. And then he says this. Look at, if we be dead with him, that becomes a challenge now. Because you know, we don't understand that we are dead in Christ. We live our life as we are alive biologically, but spiritually you could be very dead. And Paul is saying here that you have died with Christ. It's already a done deal. But we don't live in that death. We live in my own life. I do my own things. I make my own set of rules. I do my own decisions. I walk in my own way. And I forget about that I have died with Christ. Because only when we die can we live. Only when a seed falls to the ground and dies does that seed live. Leave a live seed up and it's not doing nothing. Let me show you this. Turn, keep your place. Turn to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 real quick. Flip the pages. Scroll in the phone. Do it. Look on your neighbor. Whatever you got to do. Romans 6. Look at verse 6. 6:6. It says, knowing this, that our old man, and that's what he calls you, even if you're 20, you're an old man. Your old man. That the old man, and by the way, that's woman too. It's the old nature. It's the old nature is what it's speaking about. It's your old sin nature is an old man according to the Bible. So that your old man is crucified with him. And that the body of sin might be destroyed. The body of sin might be destroyed. When we die to self, the sin is destroyed. A dead person cannot sin no more. They're dead. And this is the same picture that they're trying to tell you. The body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. We only serve sin when we're alive. But if you're dead, you can't serve sin. There's no pleasure in death. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. So back into 2 Timothy. So there's your verse. Same thing that it's saying here. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Life for a believer is in death to the flesh, death to the sin nature, dead to the old man. Okay, got that? So, this is a faithful saying. That's comfort. We must learn that we are dead with him. That becomes a challenge. Because we die and then we like to resurrect ourselves. We like to dig ourselves up. Because we have feelings, and we, a lot of us live in those feelings. But feelings will deceive you. So we must learn to die to self, that Christ may live through you. That's where life comes, and that becomes comfort again. So then in verse 12, he says, then he goes through this concept on 12 and 13. So if we suffer, we'll reign, right? Is that what it says? Yeah. If we deny him, he will deny us. And that's a troubled saying. But this is speaking of a person that fully rejects what Jesus Christ did on the cross for their sins. They flat out deny Christ. Christ will deny them one day. And then if we believe not, he believes faithful. You know, and I even believe denying Christ is worse than not believing. Because we are going to go through times where we don't believe, that we don't have faith. This word believe here in the vines is not believing in Christ and what he did. It is disobedience is the word. So to believe not is disobedience. Being disobedient to the gospel, it's unbelief. And even with the disciples, he said, you have so little faith. Where is your faith? You're not believing. And we go through times in our life where we may not believe. We don't believe for God's healing. We don't believe for God to fix our marriage. We don't believe for our finances. Those are disbeliefs. We're not believing in certain areas. It's the same thing here. We don't believe God can deliver me because the addiction is so higher than God. We sometimes go through that times. And in areas like that, in areas where we don't believe, he remains faithful. He abides faithful. God abides faithful. Think of that. God abides faithful. Abides. He remains. The word is to continue. God, and what this means, this is so good. God abides faithful. He continually abides. It means he lives in faithfulness. God's presence is faithfulness. That's his nature. He's nothing but faithful. He's always going to be there for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. I don't care what you did last night. God is still faithful this morning because you woke up. You're there. You're now in his presence. God abides faithful. It doesn't depend on your unfaithfulness. It depends on his faithfulness. The word of God doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon him. He said it. He spoke it. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, it doesn't say faithful is me. It doesn't say faithful is we. It says faithful is he. God is faithful. And there's nothing unfaithful about him. If you look at the story with Abraham, he's called out of the land of the Chaldees, out of Ur of the land of the Chaldees, and God has seven promises for him. in verse 12, Genesis chapter 12, not verse 12, Genesis chapter 12, seven promises of the faithfulness of God. None of them depended upon Abraham. He failed right in the beginning. He didn't even listen to leave your family and come out. He took family members with him. He lied about Sarah being his wife. He took another woman to have the promise with. He did everything unfaithful. And he's the father of our faith. Why? Because God was faithful. God did it all. He didn't do anything. There's nothing he could do in that whole process. God is faithful. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. It's not faithful is we. It's faithful is he. Faithful is God. I got saved because God is faithful. God is faithful. It didn't depend upon me. I wanted nothing to do with God. And he called me and brought me to himself because he's faithful. He's faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the calling of God upon one's life. He calls you to himself because he is faithful. He called you to salvation and to the work of the ministry because he is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful. The word abides faithful, this word to live in faithfulness, the word is meno in the Greek. And it's his abode of faithfulness. And he invites us into that. And as we learn to know and trust and believe that it's only him that is faithful, then I'm open to starting to hear his word, which brings faith into my life. And then faith then comes by hearing. Some people want to put faith in their pastor. And they look at them and say, you know, and many will go around even proclaiming their own faith. They proclaim their own, I'm a faith healer, I'm a man of faith. They go around saying, and it's not faithful as them, it's faithful as he. God is faithful. We don't proclaim ourselves. We, pastors, we put them up on such a high pedestal. But there's no difference in any of this. It's because it's not faithful as me. It's not faithful as Pastor Keith. It's just we are open to be used by him. Amen. There's no difference. We all learn to grow in grace. You know, Jonah, in the story of Jonah, God says, Jonah, you're going this way. Jonah says, no, I'm going that way. And God says, no, you're going to go this way. And Jonah went that way. The stubbornness of Jonah went his own way. And we're so stubborn, we get out of the way of God. You know, but you know what? God used him still. He had to go through a fish. He had to be in the belly. He came out with seaweed all over him. But he learned through that period of time that faithful is he. And he ended up preaching to the Ninevites, and they all got saved. And he said, see, God, he was even depressed about that. He was depressed about people getting saved because he was their enemies. Like Steve was saying, you know. It's amazing. We look at things and we want God to go our way in everything. But as faithful as he. You know, when we deny him, he cannot deny himself. Faithful is he. I've been married 34 years. It's not faithful as me. It's not faithful as she. It's faithful as he. It's faithful as he. People have problems in their marriages because you're looking at each other and you're picking out all the different things within each other that you don't like. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on him. Faithful is he. God is faithful. Stop looking at other men, other pastors, other ministries. Look at God. Look unto God because he is faithful. And he will never leave you. The promises are with God and only with God. And the promises come from the book and only from the book, because he is faithful. God is faithful. The Jacob's sons sold Joseph into bondage, sold him to Egypt, sold him into bondage, sold him into Egypt, and sent him away, you know. And then they came up with his coat. They got his coat, the coat of many colors, which stands for the manifold grace of God, the many sides of God. And they dipped that coat in blood and showed Jacob, is this your son's coat? And it was. And a few years after that, God caused, and you can read about this in Genesis 45, God caused a famine in the land. And God sent, Israel sent his sons to Egypt, right? Sent them to Egypt to find food. And they ended up finding Joseph. God sent them to find food and they found Joseph. Can you imagine what was on their face? I mean, not because now at this time, and remember, Joseph went through, wasn't promoted right away. He was in prison. He was all these accusations with him. But it keeps saying that God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. And he got promoted. And he ran everything. He was second in command in Egypt. And this is where his brothers are in front of. Because the distribution of anything had to go through Joseph. And that's like, you know, and Joseph is a picture of Christ. And this is amazing. Because he says, you know, he says, you didn't sell me into Egypt. You didn't put me in the bondage. See, people want to blame everybody else for their problems. Anything that they want to go to, they want to blame everybody else. So Joseph deals with this right in the beginning. You didn't do this. You didn't sell me. You know what he says? He says, you didn't sell me. God sent me. God sent you into all that? God sent him. And we look at our problems and we look at the difficulties and how struggles they are, and we're carrying all these burdens, and we want to blame others instead of knowing, wow, could this though be from God? Could what you're going through, could the struggle you're going be from God? And you're what? Complaining about it. Joseph's different mindset. Because God was with him. He communed with God wherever he was at. Whether he was being sold, whether he was in the prison, where every moment he had time with God. And two times he said that, by the way, in Genesis 45. God sent me. God did this. God did this. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. Not faithful are we. We are not faithful. We are not faithful. The measure of faith he gives us is a blessing from God. Whatever, and each one of you, you can't say, well, Pastor, I don't have your faith. I don't have, you know, you do. You have a measure. And only a measure is enough. You have a little bit of faith that you can use each and every single day to glorify God. Or you're going to glorify your flesh, and then you're going to be in misery and complain. It's your choice. You know, you have a free volition to choose this day who you will serve. Don't raise the flesh up. Just keep saying, faithful is he. It doesn't look good going forward right now. I don't like what I'm seeing right now. I don't like what's coming at me right now, but faithful is he. Whatever that storm is. Whatever that hurricane is coming at you, it doesn't matter. Faithful is he. If it's the end of your time, God has you in the palm of his hands. He knows your end. He knew your end before your beginning. Because faithful is he. We learn to live to God because faithful is he. God is faithful. He is so faithful this day. You know, I look at our ministry over the period of time, and there's amazing men and women of God that have gone even through Bible college, that has been missionaries throughout the whole world. Amazing calling upon their life. Amazing men and women of God. And all of a sudden, gone. Left. Left the ministry, left everything. And doing some weird things right now. Weird. Crazy things. You know, and you know, what causes that? Because they got off of the mindset, as faithful as He. This ministry is only about faithful as He. Nothing else. You grow as a believer when you realize faithful is He. God has you in your hands. God has your life. And He called you with a faithful calling. With a faithful calling. Christ says here, even if we believe not, and that word "if" is if, and you will not believe sometimes. It's amazing that, oh no, not me, Pat. I will never deny you, right? Okay, Peter. You know. You know, we brag in our own faith. That's faith in ourselves. We are weak. We are frail. But we have a faithful God. We have a strong, strong God. Who is there when you do fall, and is there when you waver a little bit in your disobedience and your unfaithfulness. Don't be super Christian. We come to God humbled, and we watch Him open doors. Because I'm not going through the door unless He's going first. Amen. Because faithful is He. Faithful is He. A lot of you look for a husband. You want a faithful man of God. Good luck. Hey, they're super Christian in the first 5 to 10 years. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, who is that? You know? Put those horns down. You know? But, you know, it's faithful as He. Our expectations are so much greater than they should be. Unless your eyes are only upon Christ. Because faithful is He. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We just bless You, Lord. Revelations 19:11, He says, He came on a white horse with a new name on it. And the name was called, that His name is Faithful and True. He's faithful, and then His Word of God is true. What does that mean? It means that whatever is written in the book is what God put for you and for me. Because He's faithful. It's a true word. Christ is true. Everything about Christ is true. How do you explain truth? You know. God is faithful. In Psalms 105 verse 8. And Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. He says, He is faithful over 1,000 generations. Just say one generation is 40 years. That's 40,000 years. And people want to put a number on how old the world is. It just shatters everything. It shatters all that stuff. God has been faithful since all time. God is faithful. He's a faithful God. Lord, we come to You, Lord, sometimes with all these problems that we carry upon our back. And we try to be faithful in them. But we're not meant to be. The pressures of the world are to cast it upon the One who is faithful and only faithful. And we give You all thanks, God. We give You our lives. We just remind us day in and day out, even in our work, even in our jobs, even in our schools, even in our goings, even in our comings, that You are faithful. God is always faithful. Troubles came along my 34 years of being married with Cindy. We had problems after problems. But you know what? God brought us through all of it because He's faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's a faithful God. Just praise Him today. Glorify Him. We lift You up, God, as our faithful Heavenly Father. Lord, bless the rap. Bless our offering. Bless those who are struggling, have pressures of life, details of life. Tell them, call them today and tell them faithful is God. God is faithful. God will bring them through all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.